Calling all my friends from all corners of the internet, I'm here to tell you about Sarah Bauer Boutique. In the virtual aisles of shopping Sarah Bauer Boutique, you are not just browsing through clothes, you're exploring a world of self-expression and self-love. You click, you browse, you discover the pieces that resonate with your unique vibe and individuality. My online boutique is more than just a website. It's a celebration of self-love. It's about feeling confident, radiant, and utterly comfortable in your own skin. Every outfit you find there is a reminder that you are worthy and beautiful, and you deserve to wrap yourself in it every single day. So grab your device, visit Sarah Bauer, B-A-U-E-R, boutique.com, and indulge in a joy of self-love through fashion. Let's redefine online shopping together, making it a delightful, powerful experience, because you deserve nothing but the best. Remember to give them a reason to stare from Sarah Bauer Boutique. Oh my gosh, hello, welcome to another episode of Loving Yourself Completely with me, your host, Sarah. I hope you're all having an amazing day. Look at me, I changed it up. An amazing day and an amazing week. It is today? Tuesday, and I am doing this episode. I've been kind of on schedule this week and pretty proud of myself. When you get overrun with things and you kind of just like, ah, but today I made it my goal this morning because I wanted to get like all my baking stuff done, my bread, and I wanted to get my mayonnaise made and like all the homemade stuff I do. So I'm like, I'm going to get that done. And then I started a new blog and I started the, you know, I have to do my podcast episode. And of course, with Valentine's Day coming up with the boutique, I've been trying to get more content and videos out. And I feel like I killed it this week. There are some weeks where I feel so overwhelmed that I'm like, I feel like Jack from the Titanic just like sinking down, and they're like, no, come back. I'm like, I can't. I'm too far gone. I'm done for. Nobody talk to me. My brain is on overload. That's what I told my husband the other day. I had done so much like little things. I feel like we all do, and your brain just goes scattered. And I looked at him. I was like, I think my brain, it might be broken. I think I broke a little bit. And it's a lot. It's a lot going on. So many new changes, so many new like business adventures going on. And I'm so blessed and excited and thankful. But yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot going on. And so I'm very proud of myself this week that my list, of course, my weekly list, my, you know, Monday through Sunday checklist is right on cue. And so it's been really nice. And I've had some meetings this week that went great. And Thursday, when this when this episode drops, I'm out all day, so I'll have no time to do really anything with work stuff. Of course, I'll be out at meetings doing work stuff and going and hearing about things and seminar things, and but I won't be able to do things, so I feel like I need to double up to make sure everything is on a scheduled release. Just like I do these episodes, though, you know, you set your posts and your social media and your everything to be released at a certain time. That way you can just like let your brain relax and know that it's going to be released. So it's just been really nice and a wonderful week. I feel extremely thankful and blessed this week. And anyways, so that's kind of where my episode lies this week, is I really wanted to tackle what so many of you write in about all the time. And it's been so long since we've really done, you know, like a Q&A episode and really gotten into how we can help each other get through hard times of sadness and symptoms of anxiety or depression and things like that, and paying attention to certain feelings and knowing the difference between a bad day and, you know, really needing help and needing that extra care to give yourself. I have so many people struggling right now with what's going on in the world, and it is hard. It's such a hard dynamic because we are all in the same boat, I feel like, but we're paddling at different speeds and at different rates, and some of us, you know, have more strength than others, and some of us have a heavier paddle, and some of us, you know, are allergic to water, and we all are doing it differently, and we're all trying to do it together, but at some point you have to be selfish and really take over your side of the boat and feel am I struggling more than others? Do I need help more than others? Do I need this life jacket more than others? Because I don't know how to swim and they do, and you know, all my analogies, but that's what I picture is we are all having a hard time and we are all trying to do the best we can with the world we're living in. And a lot of us have checked out emotionally, and I'm here to get you checked back in. It's time to check back in on your life. It's time to check back in on what's going on every day and make those small changes, because what are we doing if we're not making changes every day? I'd come across a couple people last week that, you know, I've known for a long time, and they are unfortunately still doing the same things. And that's what I asked them when they were telling me their struggles. I'm like, what are you doing every day different? What changes are you making every day that's different to get you out of this situation and to get you moving forward instead of living in this funk? What can we do to go, hey, I'm going to make a small change every day? Yes, Sarah, it's easier said than done. I know. I've been there. I get it. I still go there sometimes. But what are we doing differently? What small changes can we make every day? Because what is it going to hurt? And that's what I always say to everybody that looks at me and they say, I'm scared, or I can't, I'm frozen, I'm in fear, I'm so sad, I can't function. What do we have to lose if every day you write down a positive thought? One positive thought, one sentence, three words, I am enough, anything. What can we do differently? And that's some of the questions I do want to answer today, you know, practical strategies to manage your anxiety or depression on a daily basis. And that's what I want to talk about, prioritizing all of these things and going, what can I do differently? I know we talk about this a lot, and I love that you all wrote in. And it's just been a while since I've done a Q&A, so I picked some what I think are some really good questions that are extremely common in a roundabout idea. And that's what I want to get into today, because loving yourself completely is loving your anxiety, is managing and loving your depression, and knowing that without it, we wouldn't know the good days from the bad. And I think I'm really thankful to have come from a dark place, and we can all come from a dark place. And are we going to be out of it forever? Probably not. Do we have our bad days, our bad weeks, and our bad moments? 100%. It's absolutely impossible to be positive all the time. That's unrealistic. We're not shooting for perfect. That's not what we're shooting for. We're shooting for a manageable happiness. And everybody can maintain happiness. That's what we're going for. Stop comparing, stop competing, and have a lot of gratitude for what you have in life and who you are and who you fought to become 100% of your days. Every single day, you can either pick the negative and you will find it, or you can pick the positive and you can find it. All right, welcome to another episode of Loving Yourself Completely. Become a brand ambassador today for Sarah Bauer Boutique. Go to www.sarahbauerboutique.com to sign up to become a brand ambassador today. Okay, so right off the bat, I really want to start off our questions and get rolling on these. And I just want you all to know before we get started that if you need help or you need to reach out, there are numbers you can call for your local area. If you or a loved one are experiencing suicidal thoughts or ideations, please do not hesitate to reach out. Okay, so question number one, how can someone differentiate between normal feelings of sadness or stress in symptoms of anxiety or depression? And that's kind of the biggest topic I wanted to tackle on today's episode, is what is a bad day and a bad life for you? I feel like it's important to pay attention when certain feelings are persistent for you, persistent of hopelessness, loss of interest, maybe even changes in your sleep and appetite, difficulty concentrating. If symptoms like this are happening for, you know, more than, I'd say, a couple weeks at a time, that it is crucial that you seek out professional help, remembering that mental health is extremely important. It's as important as physical health. It's as important as taking care of your heart and your lungs, and your mind is just right up there with it. It's in control. And reaching out for support, as always, is a sign of strength and not weakness. You are fighting a hard fight, and no weakness could attempt that. So I'd say persistent feelings of these things and really struggling to maintain your happiness for moments, looking past moments of happiness because of the overwhelming sadness or lack of interest, really struggling with those things. I even know when I was in my worst times, I lost so much weight. Like I couldn't even, people were noticing in a sickly way, and it was depressing and it was sad, but I didn't know what to do because I genuinely just, it's not that I didn't want to eat. It was that I was in so much fight or flight mode that adrenaline stopped me from eating. So that was my struggle, was I wanted to eat. And I remember my dad still to this day would bring me like yogurt parfaits, and I would call my mom at all hours of the night in panic attacks. I wouldn't sleep in my bed. This was in a past relationship, and I know that he struggled with me as well and struggled helping me because, again, we didn't know what it was like. And then my last episode I had, it wasn't as severe, but I was struggling with, I think this was back in like 2019. I was just struggling with the overrunning thoughts, the negativity, the constant, what if I fail? And it was a repeat in my mind. I know we've talked about this several times, but that's when I say that that's the difference between a bad day and feeling like a bad life, is when it's a constant and there's nothing throughout your days that can help that. You know, when you had a bad day at work and you go home to your kids and your loved ones, or you go home to your animals or your favorite shows, and you look forward to things, you can find things of the happiness. That's when you just had a bad day. That's when maybe you had a bad week at work. Who knows? But there are parts of your day that you can still connect to. Are you feeling a connection, or are you feeling really disassociated with life? That's when you start asking yourself the hard questions. Okay, what changes can I make in a day, and how, and should I seek professional help? Which my answer is always yes. Okay, what are some simple ways that I can take care, or that we can take care of ourselves to cope with our anxiety and depression in my daily life? Okay, so daily life, I feel like if you struggle with anxiety and depression, as always, prioritizing your self-care activities, exercise, mindfulness, meditation, your diet, getting enough sleep, boundaries, those all protect mental health. That is like that should be a constant play in your mind when you're feeling off, is did I take care of myself today? And taking care of yourself is giving yourself moments of silence. It's giving yourself moments of happiness. It's taking in the gratitude of your life. It's making sure that the food you put in your body is meant for your body and not meant for a chemical plant. That plays a huge role. I know this is a huge hot topic right now, but our food is not the best. And whatever you can do to be knowledgeable on that and make those small changes. Now, I know everything around us can be bad. Everything. There's not one thing in this world, but the more knowledge you have and knowing that some things can really mess with you in your mental health and your body and in the way you feel, it's taking in that knowledge and go, okay, now I can make a change. And I am knowledgeable in this topic. And if I'm not, I can do my research. I know that I want to make changes for myself and for my family because I want to feel my best. And if I want to feel my best, I want my family to feel my best as well. So making those simple changes in our daily life with our making sure we're getting fresh air, and remember, be kind to yourself. Don't, you know, I feel like we self-criticize more than any generation, I feel like. And it is, I think that from like age ranges, maybe like 25 to 45 right now, that whole timeline, we are all so hard on ourselves because we feel like our parents had it all together. They did not. That was a green screen. We didn't see it because it wasn't so in our face then, that generation. And then this new generation coming along is all about self-love, and it's all about making sure that you feel good enough and your body's good enough and the skin you're in is good enough and your anxiety is accepted. Therapy is put on a pedestal. I mean, this new generation coming in, as much as we want to goof with them, they are so aware of who they are and that they're worthy of love. But that seems like the millennial generation, which is, I would say, I think it was like 78% of my listenership were ages in that range. We struggle with not criticizing ourselves to death. I mean, gosh, if we make one minute mistake in our day, what's wrong with you? How could you be so stupid? Like, people just tear themselves apart. And I'm constantly telling so many of my friends when they'll say little things like, oh, of course that would happen to me. No, no, no. Like, we're going to change. We have to change that thought pattern of, it happened for me. This happened for me. Either any mistake, any small error in your day that happened for you, this is a favor for you. And it can be the silliest thing. You spilled your coffee all over the couch. Well, guess what? You cleaning up that coffee saved you from that accident that happened on your road. You don't know the gratitude you should have for small errors you make in your day. And I think changing that thought process of happening to you and for you, we always talk about, is huge. Practicing these mindfulness tricks every single day is what you do on a daily basis to cope with anxiety and depression. Because eventually, this gratitude builds up this wall to this anxiety and this depression. And you go, oh no, like, that happened for me. Thank you for showing me what I could fear, what I could be sad about, what I could struggle and stress about, and what I did need help with, what I did need to possibly seek outside help with and medical advice from, whatnot. Thank you for showing me that. And now I'm moving forward. We keep moving forward. And the day you stop looking back on things that brought you to this is the day you know that you have grown so much. I used to, oh God, it was like a record in my mind, my past, my choices, my thoughts, what I did, who could lead me to where, what person introduced me to this person, you know, like, it was everything. And I thought everything I needed to make sense. And you don't. It doesn't need to make sense. Life is just life. Stop asking how and just tell yourself, this is where I'm going. You don't need to ask yourself how. That's part of manifesting your daily destination. There is no hows. It's just, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to be extremely happy in my life. I'm going to experience peace and love and happiness and success. And my family is going to be in abundance of that. It's going to all be wrapped in a pretty little bow. And it doesn't mean we're perfect or you have bad days. You don't have bad days. It means that I'm not going to ask myself, how do we get out of here? I'm going to tell myself that next week I won't be here. I won't be in this mental space. And then it's just a bad day sometimes. So coping with these things on a daily basis, be kind to yourself. Take small steps every single day that can make a difference. Journaling, meditation, manifesting, exercise, change your breakfast, change your lunch, change your dinner. Make those small things. Even you could start, I know baking is such a huge thing right now for everybody. And I'm right there on board of doing the homemade everything. I know I tell you guys I'm gluten-free. And that stuff is, not only is it expensive, but I feel like sometimes it just tastes like crap. And I want to enjoy just making my own things. And I think baking is a huge, homemade and homesteading and all these things that you see everywhere. I jumped right on board, but it makes me feel good. It's an amazing thing. It's a learning thing. I did not grow up in a cooking family. Like, gourmet for me at my home was like Hamburger Helper. And I'm so thankful we had food. I was always fed, of course. But it wasn't a cooking thing. Now, my husband, his mom's like Southern. Her mom is like real Southern. Like, they were, everything's from scratch. Everything's homemade. Like, she still pulls out cookbooks for holidays. And she is an incredible cook. So my husband is an extremely amazing cook. He is 99% the cook in our house. I'm more of the baker. So his meals are incredible. Anyways, it was always a goal of mine to learn how to cook. And it was one of the things I was most intimidated by because I genuinely didn't know how ingredients worked. I didn't know why that mixed with this, why. And it may sound silly to so many people who grew up with family meals and dining room tables that you ate at. My dining room table was full of papers. Like, it never was used. And I remember with my first relationship, or he was technically my first husband, his family ate at the dinner table, and I was so anxious and so uncomfortable, and I didn't know why any of my friends, that was, you know, when I was growing up, if they ate at the kitchen table and I'm sitting there next to him, I was anxious. I didn't understand, like, why are we sitting at the table? Like, why are we all talking? Why are your parents talking to me? Like, and now that's normal for me. Of course, my family eats at the dinner table every night, but it wasn't something I grew up around. So it wasn't crazy to me that cooking gave me anxiety, because the kitchen wasn't the main area of my household. My mom, of course, she took up cooking later on in life, and now she's an amazing cook. I think my sisters are both great cooks, but it's mainly like, I think our husbands are just really great cooks. I think we all kind of agreed on that. My two sisters, their husbands cook. And my one sister I was talking to the other day, I'm like, oh my gosh, you do sourdough too? She's like, well, more so, you know, he does. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, I'm still trying to gather more information about the gluten-free stuff. But gluten-free and sourdough, everybody tells me. Anyways, that's my rant. Everybody's like, oh, you know, it's the folic acid. Look at me getting on my baking stuff. But I'm telling you, when you make these small changes and you find things that really do intrigue you in a daily basis, you don't have to obsess over the anxiety and depression every day, because that obsession can turn into a new obsession. And how exciting is that to know that that mental willpower that you have towards being negative can be powerful. It can be so powerful to be positive. How incredible is that? How incredible that you think that these overwhelming negative feelings are only the negative, but it doesn't have to be. Can you imagine harnessing these feelings that you say you get on a daily basis and making it something that you are extremely passionate about? Ah, how amazing is that? Have you heard the news? Spotify has amazing new ways to listen to your favorite music and podcasts. Be sure to turn on notifications to Loving Yourself Completely to never miss an episode. Download Spotify today for free. Anyways, I know that kind of took a turn, but I think it's really exciting that we are all so relating to these questions. And a lot of these ones I pulled had, you know, ones below it identical to us. So reading through your emails, I tell you this all the time, but I really want you to hear me. You are not alone. We're all struggling in our own ways. We're all, you know, whether it's what we're eating, whether it's moving enough, whether it's our work life, whether it's our home life, finances. I helped a dear friend of mine the other day get her finances together, and she was so thankful. I didn't realize knowledge I had to help her get her stuff in order and to help her make those phone calls. She's like, I hate making phone calls. I'm like, oh my gosh, no, I love it, because everybody is there to help you if you're kind enough, if you know what you're addressing, and kind of like showing her. She's like, we're doing it right now. She hands me her phone. She hands me all her information, her banking, everything. She's like, just do it. I'm like, done. It's done. We can all be so helpful to each other in our skills. And even me being excited to learn certain homemade cooking things. I called him this morning when I was making our mayonnaise, and there was a question I had for him about an ingredient. I'm like, I want to use the avocado oil, but this, blah, blah, blah. And he's like telling me why certain ingredients reacts certain ways with this ingredient and what this is going to outcome when you bake it this way. And it was so informative. And imagine something so small, but imagine if we as people took the small things, and it's big for other people. Those small things that you think are a part of your daily life, whether it's giving advice, this podcast, bills, cooking, calling your sister to ask about a recipe, those things seem small, but they make big differences for people. Remember, those small questions that people ask you, or those small questions that you want answered, can make really big differences in your life. Don't be scared to step out of your comfort zone. Okay, next one. How can I navigate my toxic relationship while prioritizing my own mental being? My own mental well-being. Oh my gosh, Sarah, read. Dealing with a friend who is constantly putting me down and criticizing me has been really challenging lately. I want to maintain this friendship, but it's really taking a toll on my mental health. How can I navigate this toxic relationship while still taking care of myself? Oof. Well, you know, you guys, I do read these questions before I read them to you, but sometimes they still take me back because I usually gather these a week in advance. Okay, so if you're wanting to still maintain the friendship, which I think is amazing, there's going to have to be some changes. I think it's amazing that you recognize these signs of a toxic relationship. It could be anything from manipulation to control to constant competition, lack of respect for your boundaries, all of it. But I think if you want to maintain the friendship and they are your true friend, that setting clear boundaries and having that discussion with individuals who feel the need to treat you such ways, communicate your needs and be assertive. I think saying to people like, I don't have those even conversations about gossip. That's my biggest thing is, yes, I did used to participate in gossip. And I think I did it as a form of being socially accepted because that's what everybody around me did. But I don't have to anymore. And I don't need to. I can allow people around me to change and show me that they've changed. And I'm not going to continue to gossip about who they were or what they did or even what they're doing now. It doesn't need to be that way. So that's my example is say somebody starts gossiping around me and I'll say to them, oh, you know, I don't think we should talk about somebody that's not here to defend themselves in a negative way. And so then they kind of stop and most people are like, yeah, that's true. That is true. Anyways, and they'll move forward. And it's such a small moment that may be a little awkward and it may feel weird, but you're going to feel better in the long run knowing that you don't have to have anxiety about that person coming by anymore because they know that you don't want to participate in that. And now your friendship can move to a different level and not gossip and maybe more, oh, where do you see yourself in 5 years? More success in your relationships of talking about goals and plans and not people. So that's a big one for me is gossip and how much I did used to participate in it makes me sad. And I hate that. And so I won't allow that anymore. And I think I love that the most about me is that I'm not willing to budge on that. I will listen to you vent about people. But when it comes to making accusations or assumptions or my negative, like if you have a negative opinion towards somebody, I say, oh, you know, I don't know. They're not here to defend themselves. So I really don't know, but I've never experienced that. So just those quick things and knowing that's what your heart needs. So with you, I think, I'm not sure, it doesn't really say in the question, just criticizing and constant competition stuff. So and I would, when you set these boundaries, be like, I just, you know, sometimes when you tell me things, I feel like you're criticizing me and maybe you're trying to give me advice. Maybe we can work on our delivery and maybe how I receive it. If they get defensive, then that shows you they're not hearing you. If they're like, no, that you must take it wrong. You. No, they need to say, oh, I never thought of that. I guess I should work on how I say that. I'm so sorry. It should be I and them owning it. When they become defensive, that means they knew they were doing it. They were just hoping to not get called out on it. So that's one. Constant competition. Oh God, I've dealt with this. I've dealt with this year. Oh, it is. It's hard because you want to go, oh, they're my friend. And they're just like, we inspire each other. But then it gets to the point of, oh, like, no, they are duplicating me. Like, this is weird. This is strange. This is like single white female. Like, this is becoming a thing now, right? So I think with that, maybe you could address it with your boundaries and say, you know, I'm really having a hard time. Like, do you feel you're in competition with me? And just call it out. Like, I don't want our friendship to feel like a competition. And lately, I kind of feel like we're not on the same team, that maybe you're like feeling threatened by things I'm doing. And again, that might come off as defensive. If somebody said, are you threatened by me? I'd be like, oh my gosh, no, why would you think that? And then they would address it and you would say, well, you know, when I do this, you do this. When I say this, you say this. And I feel like we're butting heads that way. And I don't want that because I love our friendship so much. So I wanted to kind of get it out of the way because are you feeling that way too? Are you feeling that way? And they might say yes. If they say no, then now it's something that they can look at. If you do something the next week and they immediately say like, oh, they're doing it to her. Oh, I already did that. And it's no good. And they're constantly tearing you down. Well, then they're not, now they're not respecting the boundaries of it. So set the clear boundaries. And again, what I always say to people who say this isn't working for me, friendships, jobs, relationships, et cetera, depression, anxiety, this isn't working for my life. What do you have to lose? There's nothing. You're going to lose the friendship either way if you keep letting this resentment, I guess. I can't. You do. You start to resent the person who isn't being an authentic friend anymore. And you, it's awful. And you don't want to talk to them as much. And all of a sudden your answers become short because you feel like they're just, they're not being true to you, just to themselves. And a selfish friendship is not the friendship you want. So anyways, my advice is set those clear boundaries, be assertive. Remember, you do deserve to be treated with respect and kindness. And I think so many of us feel that it's an option and that you have to deserve it and earn it and what it, not deserve it, but that you don't deserve it. Some of us feel that way and you absolutely do. You need to make sure that you are surrounding yourself with supportive people in your life, from friends and family to your spouse. And of course, seeking therapy if that can help you navigate. But with a lot of relationships, I think from an outside point of view, that's why I say therapy. A lot of these relationships, we think that there's something we could do different for a different outcome. And it's not always the case. They may just be a part of your chapter and not the whole book. And they've shown you something to learn, something to look for, red flags to avoid, and green flags about yourself because you didn't allow them to drag you down that negative path with them. So be assertive, set clear boundaries, and address it as an adult conversation. I hate when people think that everything has to be up for debate, that it has to be, that you have to defend yourself. No, I'm just addressing. When you start the conversation, be like, can I address something with you that's just really bothering me? And I don't want our friendship to be affected by it, but I want to know if you feel this way or what we can do to maybe fix it, because I'm really feeling like, I'm just constantly exhausted by keeping up with each other and like almost like a competition. And I want you like as my teammate. And I feel like sometimes you look at me as an opponent, and it kind of makes me sad, because is there anything I'm doing that's making you feel that way? Like I feel hurt. And when you are constantly, I feel like you're putting me down because maybe you don't feel good about yourself. Am I not making you feel good? And it can. You can address the yous and the eyes. I feel this way. You make me feel this way. And then make sure, though, when you're addressed as well, if they have something to say to you, that you also address it and you say, I wasn't aware that you felt that way, and I'm so sorry. And your feelings are so valid in that, and I want to do what I can to change that. Make sure it's not a manipulation tactic, and you're going to be able to see if their actions match their words very soon. Okay. What are some effective coping mechanisms for dealing with overwhelming feelings of anxiety and depression in a moment, like at work? Okay. So, grounding techniques. That's a big one for me. Grounding techniques, deep breathing, box breathing, four in, hold for four, four out, breathe out for four. And we're going to do that in sets of four. Making sure that you're relaxing your muscles. When I'm anxious, I'm constantly like, is my tongue pressed to the roof of my mouth? Are my shoulders relaxed? Is my neck too far forward? Is my back feeling tense? I have to recheck all of my things. So that's in a moment. You can do those breathings, journaling, of course. Activities that bring out your excitement. We've always talked about that, going for a walk, listening to music, spending time with your loved ones, of course. It's okay that you're struggling in that moment, and tell yourself, it's okay that I'm having a hard time right now. Acknowledging your struggle in the moment, if you have anxiety while you're at work. I remember when I worked retail, and I would be literally at the register with a line of people, and I would feel that overwhelming sensation coming on of anxiety. And I was, oh my gosh, like, you cannot have a full-blown meltdown here at a register. What are you doing, Sarah? And I would notice where my fingers were on the keyboard, and I would say, okay, your ring finger's on the K, on the L. And I would make these small moments while they were, you know, putting their debit card in, doing their numbers. And I would take those small moments do my breathing. And even responding, if somebody walked up to the register while I'm in my breathing, I would make sure I say it slow. How are you doing today? Oh, that's great. And I would track my words and know that they were coming out in the forms of my breathing and that I needed to slow down. How many times do you guys hear me on this podcast? Wow, I'm talking so fast and I need to slow down. But I am always a fast talker and that's not a form of my anxiety. But when I'm having anxiety, I can't talk fast. I can't do that. I have to be very, very slow and aware of what I'm saying at every moment. So I think that that's something that you can mentally note, is that deep breathing is going to ground you and relaxing those muscles is going to tell your body you don't have to be ready to fight. You don't have to be ready to run. You can relax. So practice that. The box breathing has been a lifesaver for me so many times. Sometimes you might get a little dizzy and you might feel a little lightheaded, and that's okay. Hopefully, don't do it while you're driving if you're still fairly new to it. I've come to learn that so many people aren't breathing correctly, and a lot of times when you're randomly tired, when you have anxiety, when you're experiencing, that overwhelming sensations in your body, that just getting more air pumped in is a cure right there in itself. So many of us are breathing in such a rapid way throughout our day, especially at work when you're already heightened in your senses and aware of your surroundings. You're not focusing on making sure you're breathing correctly. So that's a big one. How can I start feeling better about myself and accepting who I truly am? Especially if I've always struggled with feeling down about myself. I didn't grow up in a very loving environment, so my inner voice is not my own. Oh, I can tell you've been listening. Okay. My first thing that pops into my head, of course, is starting by practicing that. It's the selves, self-compassion and reframing from that negative self-talk. I know you say the voice in your head is not yours, and that's amazing because that means you can change it to yours. How great is that? Because it's not your thoughts. You can make them yours now. You can personalize your mind. Like, you can personalize a lock screen, right? So you can create what you want that to be. What is your dream voice in your mind for yourself? I hope it's a peaceful one, an uplifting one, an understanding one, and take time to celebrate yourself. And I feel like I say that a lot, but really none of us celebrate ourselves enough. None of us pat ourselves on the back because we think we don't deserve it. We could do more. Oh, not yet. No, you celebrate every moment you have. You celebrate waking up in the morning. The minute my eyes open, thank you so much, God, for waking me up. It's going to be a beautiful day. And that becomes a repetitiveness in you. And guess whose voice I hear first thing in the morning? Mine. It's my voice first thing in the morning. It's not what I have to do. It's not what I have to wake my son up. It's not that I need to hurry up and get our stuff taken care of. You got to work out. You got to get to work. You got to do this order, this process, this. You got to make sure you get to the post office. But, it's not the constant what I need to do. It's what I want to tell myself. And what I want to tell myself every day is, you've got this. And celebrate yourself that you worked through another day and that you were kind to yourself, and oh, you look beautiful today, and I'm so grateful for everything. I'm grateful for my blankets that kept me so warm all night. Show the gratefulness in you and your small things, and those voices fade away. I'm telling you, I know it sounds crazy and people might think it's silly, but when that inner voice becomes your own and it's built on love of yourself, love of your surroundings, love of that new candle you bought, any little thing becomes a self-love talk. And that is a glow that no light can, that no darkness can dim. That came out really awkward, but I hope you know what I meant. So really celebrate all your things, all your moments, no matter how small. Acknowledge your worth. You're worth all these things around you, okay? Really accepting yourself is engaging in activities that help you grow, that help you discover yourself, that help you to want to learn new skills or explore new hobbies and all of that. And remembering that self-love is such a big journey that it's not going to happen overnight, that you're not going to just wake up and be like, oh, Sarah said I should be, grateful that I woke up another day. And I said it yesterday and it's not repetitive yet. No. This is a repetitive years upon years of practice and getting it right and making it feel true to you. You don't want to just say things that other people tell you to say. You want to create that for yourself. And that's why I say journaling is so important, because I feel like we put our own authentic thoughts in these notebooks. And I want you to treat these notebooks as if nobody will ever read them. And who cares if one day somebody reads them when you're dead and gone? That's fine. Like, I don't even care. You can read all my journals. No big deal. But when you write these things, I do want you to treat it as if it is your most sacred thoughts. Put them all in there. Make sure that if you have an off day, a day of maybe a negative journaling day, I want the next page to be three things of gratitude, though, in the same breath, because that's what's really important, is we don't want our journal to be reflective of only our bad days. So when you put in those moments of gratitude, I want you to stare at those three words or three sentences for several moments and really take it in and hear it in your own sound, hear it in your own tone, say it in a soothing way, and look yourself in the eye in the mirror. I seen a video of a man that did a study that said almost 80% of people can't look at themselves in the mirror, in the eye, for more than 20 seconds because they aren't happy with themselves. And so his advice was, you know, whether you're naked, whether you're just getting ready, look at yourself. Really, who are you? Can you look at yourself and know that you are who you are because of what you've done in life, of what you've created, and you've curated this person of your own being? And is it who you're happy to be? And if it's not, we start practicing these things. We start being compassionate. We start forgiving ourselves for maybe making choices we never wanted to make, for discussing topics maybe we shouldn't have discussed, maybe judging people we'd hoped we didn't, or letting toxic relationships go on too long, not standing up for ourselves soon enough, going back and forth and back and forth and saying, that's not who I am now. How exciting is it that I can forgive myself for doing that? Because I can see how far I've come now. I wouldn't have had a mile marker if I was, you know, doing those things all along. And now I can see, ugh, that's so cringe, how I was before. Like, yuck, I'm not that person anymore. How exciting is that? So feeling down about yourself, I'd say, is great. Look at that as a positive, because you can go up now. Now it's time. You have acknowledged that I don't want to feel this way. I'm struggling accepting who I am, and I'm feeling down about myself, and I'm hearing other people who've put me down, and they're my voice. That doesn't have to be it. This does not have to be your story. You do not have to be annoyed by somebody else's vocals all day long. They can be your own, okay? Make those small changes. Be compassionate with yourself. Refrain from the negative talk. First, I want you to go 24 hours with no negative talk. And if you start to say, like, oh, of course you messed that up, you go, oh, no, that happened for a reason. It's fine. Moving forward. You don't need to know the reason. You don't even need to know. You just say, oh, okay, well, that must benefit me somehow. And you laugh and you keep moving. Do that for 24 hours. Do it for 48 hours. Keep moving up from refraining from the negative self-talk and make a note of it. Oh, my gosh, I haven't had a knowing negative thought in a day. I haven't had a knowing negative thought in 2 days, 3 days, a week, a month. And then all of a sudden you're telling everybody across the world that you can be your best self, and people will want to throw up if they're not there yet, and people will judge you and say negative things. And guess what? Okay. You're not my voice. You've said nothing to me. I've heard nothing. I've seen nothing. Now you can go away. Annoy people with your positivity. I love the saying, the sun doesn't give a fuck who it blinds with this light. Be however bright you want to be. You deserve it. You've earned it. If you have earned that positivity, that brightness, and you have done the self-work and you've done the growth and you have become the best version of yourself and you're continuing to do that, I don't care if that hurts your feelings. I don't care. I've put in the work on myself and I'm allowed to be excited about that. And I want to tell as many people around me as I possibly can, you can do it too. You don't have to live in this stale, negative state of life. How awful to be the same person your whole life and no growth has ever happened for you. How sad.
Okay. How many more we got? We got two more, you guys. Okay. What role do boundaries play in maintaining healthy relationships and protecting my mental health? So that was an all-around one. I kind of, you know, reframed that question because it was such a repetitive one of boundaries and relationships and mental health. It's huge. So many people think that they do not have to set boundaries with their loved ones, and those are the ones who need it most. Those are the ones who you want to keep in your life the most, so they need those clear boundaries. You have to have them. They are 100% needed in maintaining any healthy relationship and protecting your mental health. Is being so vulnerable, like we talked about in our last episode, being so vulnerable with your partner is setting those clear communications of your needs, expectations, everything. You cannot be afraid to enforce your boundaries, especially if you feel they're being violated. It's okay to say no with things that do not line up with your values or they make you uncomfortable. You have to put your own well-being first and surround yourself with people who not only support that, but respect that. So many people can be supportive of you having boundaries, but the respect comes from when you enforce those boundaries with them. That's when you see the respect factor. It's all support and love. And yes, set those boundaries, girl, and don't let them treat you like that. Don't let them talk to you like that until you go, oh, I don't really appreciate how you're treating me. And then you get to see if that loved one respects you. It's the respect. It's not always the support. Anybody can support somebody else's boundaries, but what about the boundaries you set with them? That's a big one. That's huge. Yes, yes, yes. If you want to have a loving, healthy relationship, you have to set boundaries. So go about doing that, whatever your boundaries are, whatever your do's and don'ts are, whatever your form of loving you is, communicate that very clear. And again, the people who want to remain in your life will support that, respect that, agree with that, and the actions will follow. Now, all the words can sound so great until the actions aren't lining up. Pay attention to those people. Pay attention to the ones that put off things until the time comes up, and then they can, you know, manipulate the situation as something you did that caused their reaction. You are not powerful enough to cause a large reaction from somebody. They are in 100% control. You cannot blame somebody else for their response towards you. No matter what somebody does, you're in control of that reaction. We talk about this all the time. I wish I would have known that sooner. That just because they were reactive towards me did not mean I need to reciprocate that energy. You don't have to do that. You can clearly state your boundaries. If somebody doesn't respect the boundaries, if somebody is constantly showing you that they're not going to ever, maybe, possibly, you don't have to get angry. You don't have to say, I told you. You can say, okay, thank you. Thank you for, you know, showing me that I communicated that clearly, because obviously you're getting defensive and you know that that wasn't okay, but thank you for making this easy for me to do. And I appreciate that. I thought I could trust you. I can't. And now I'm going to move forward. And they're going to get angry and they're going to throw a fit. You know, it's a temper tantrum, but you have to be clear on that, because if you're not, and like you said, with protecting your mental health, what happens when you continuously allow somebody to get away with things you're uncomfortable with? Not only do you resent that person, you start resenting yourself. You start not feeling good about yourself. Why am I not worthy? That's always the question. Instead of these people not being worthy of you, you start questioning, why am I not worthy? Why do they not see me as somebody that's worthy to treat a certain way and to respect my boundaries? You start attacking yourself. That's what we don't do. That's what we're not doing. So boundaries are super important, but they're absolutely necessary in your most loving relationships, okay? How can individuals provide support for loved ones dealing with anxiety, depression, or toxic relationships? For instance, what actions can I take to help a friend who is experiencing severe anxiety attacks? Okay, listen. That's my biggest one. Listen. Practice listening and validating them without judgment. That's my biggest thing I say to people. And I mean it. I do mean it. Your feelings are valid. Your thoughts are so valid. I totally understand. And it's okay that you feel this way. Offering them that support to let them know that you're there for them, whether they need someone to talk to or just someone to sit with. I know when I experienced my severe anxiety attacks back when I was really struggling, I didn't need my husband to say anything. I didn't. I liked when I could lay my head on his chest and he would like rub my hair and I would be sobbing. Sometimes I would like soak his shirt or I was sweating because I was having a full on anxiety or panic attack. It didn't really matter. They were all awful, but I just needed him to like rub my hair. I didn't need him to talk me through it because most of the time it's not rational. A lot of the times it's more so what our thoughts. Most anxiety and panic attacks I found come from thinking too far into the future or reliving the past over and over again. And that's why working through those traumas with self-compassion is huge. So I would say with your person who's experiencing these anxiety attacks, maybe when they're outside of an anxiety attack, ask them, do you understand what causes these sometimes? Like, do you think too far in the future or the past? And that's a huge help for so many. When I start feeling anxiety, I ask myself, am I too far in the future or too far in the past? Which one? Because in this present moment, I'm just sitting on the couch. In this present moment, I'm just driving. In this present moment, I'm just at work. Typing on a computer right now. In the present moment, there is no anxiety. Too far in the future, too far in the past, that's when you start experiencing these symptoms because your body can relive and make up scenarios. Your body can relive those moments in the past because it doesn't know time. Your brain doesn't know time. So too far in the past and it's reliving these traumatic experiences. Too far in the future and it's making up how it thinks you're going to feel. You don't know yet. How many times do we make up a scenario of an event we have to go to or be a part of or that's about to happen and we have anxiety or panic attacks all week and then you go and it's fine? How many times does that happen for you? It happens for me a lot. It used to happen for me all the time. And then I would say to myself, oh, well, just like our skydiving scenario that I used to talk about all the time. Why am I going to fear jumping out of a plane and parachuting when I'm not up there yet? Like I'm not up there. And that scenario has helped me with a lot of things. They say so many people would panic the whole week before skydiving, the whole week. And then they go, I'm not even in the plane yet. Like I'm not there. And yet I have relived this fear 10 times. And that's what I always think about is no matter how many times you try to plan out a scenario or you think this is what I would have done differently, you can't. So your body knows you can't. So then it makes you panic because you feel out of control now because I know you can't do something. You feel out of control. So with that friend, with the severe anxiety attacks, just be there. Encourage them, of course, to seek professional help if needed. Offer them that shoulder to lean on. Remember to prioritize your own self-care, of course, while supporting others. And that's a really big one. So many of us are such big support systems for other people, myself included. I feel like I'm the one a lot of people come to with their struggles and hardships and help me. And I love that. That's why I do this show. But I also have to know when I can shut it down. There are some days with loving yourself completely email that I can't read them, that I can't open the emails because I know I'm not in the headspace to take it in. And that's a part of the empath in me is that I feel what you're feeling. And that's why a lot of times I do reiterate your questions, your thoughts, your feelings with my own, because I've been there and I can tap into those past feelings and past experiences. And I have to be careful because I can tap into that. And that's not somewhere I want to be ever again. So make sure that you're taking care of yourself, that you're there for your loved one. And if they're having a severe anxiety attack, a lot of times you don't need to say anything, but maybe several days later you can ask them, when your anxiety attacks come on, are you like thinking a lot about the future or the past? Because I heard somewhere or I read somewhere, however you want to say it, that a lot of people struggle with that in that moment. But there are some people who have severe anxiety attacks just being in a grocery store and it's just an environment situation. So that doesn't always apply. But for me, it had applied a lot when I was thinking too much. But of course, environment situations, sometimes I would have them at work just because I was surrounded by people. I struggle with people. Not so much that, but like the unknown of people was always an anxiety inducer for me. But I think it was more so because if I really think hard about it, when I would have anxiety attacks in grocery stores or just being out and about, it was because I was nervous of the unpredictability of people. I was nervous somebody would try to mess with me or take me, or when I first had my son, they were going to come after me and my son. Like, I really was playing out scenarios that, yes, I thought was keeping me safe, but also just be aware and alert. I don't need to think about it for an hour or 30 minutes on my drive there, what I would do if something happened. I know that instinct in me is there, so I can protect myself in the moments, and I don't need to be nervous about unpredictability of people because I myself am I'm unpredictable. So I need to really focus on what I'm doing in this moment to keep my mind and my heart and my body and my family safe, and know that that's all I can do because it is my best. Mornings are already rough, so why not make it easier with Javi? J-A-V-Y. Javi coffee is dairy-free, sugar-free, gluten-free, plant-powered, non-GMO, and ethically sourced. Javi coffee is so simple. You take 1 to 2 teaspoons, pour it in hot or cold water, put in your favorite toppings or creamer, and you're on the go. No stops in the morning, no waiting in line, no getting that machine out that you don't even know if it's clean. Drink Javi coffee and get 20% off with Sarah, S-A-R-A 43934 today. Javi coffee will change your whole morning mood. Drink Javi today. So as we wrap up today's episode, I want you to remember that you're not alone in this journey towards self-love, mental well-being, whether you're facing anxiety or depression, toxic relationships, or just simply trying to nurture a greater sense of self-compassion. Know that there is support out there available to you, and there's hope for you. Take time to prioritize your own self-care and seeking help when it's needed. I'm constantly saying, if you think you need it, then you do, and go for it. Remember, you're worthy of love and acceptance just as you are, but also you're worthy of so much more acceptance for your future self. Think of your future self, strive to be them. How would your future self respond? And continue listening to loving yourself completely, because on this journey, we're tackling all these things. We're tackling all the scary thoughts, all the scary scenarios, all the people who you deserve better from. And make sure you're writing into lovingyourselfcompletely at gmail.com. I am going to do more Q&A episodes. I know there's so many that I personally respond to, but also so many that just need addressed in an abundance. So I kind of take them and summarize them to address them. We are all going through things differently at different speeds, at different rates in our boat. We are all struggling in separate areas, but it's all come down to loving ourselves. And knowing that we're worthy, and knowing that we're enough, and knowing that you have to take care of yourself before you can take care of your loved ones is huge. Okay, go leave ratings and reviews, and thank you to the 9,026 new Spotify listeners. I am so thankful for you all, and it goes to show that we're all kind of venturing on this loving journey in 2024, and how amazing is that? How incredible is that? Of how many people really truly want to love themselves completely. So continue to write in. Leave a rating and review if possible on any listening platform. How amazing. Share this episode with a friend and continue loving yourself completely. Until next time. Bye.